Manny, welcome to Racing Only Better, the end of a long week of racing, and glad to say we are going to preview the final day of Goodwood, and thanks for your company so far this week. Hopefully you've managed to make a few quid, not by listening to me by any chance, but certainly our two resident experts, who today are Kevin Blake. Kev, how are we?
Hello! Wonderful, Hugh, wonderful. You say it at the end of a long week of racing, like it's a bad thing. Jesus, mother of God. Racing like this, you'd have it every day.
Listen, Kev, listen, if you were in my shoes now, working on the boxing overnight and coming in to watch racing all day long, you'd be tired as well, I can tell you that much. Barry Orr's with us as well. Barry, how are you?
I'm great, lads. Yeah, how's it all going?
Good, good. Sure, we're mighty. Ireland have their first gold medal at the Olympics, lads. Sure, what could possibly...
Put like a dog, up your boy, yeah.
Jeez, I tell you what. Anyway, we're going to try
and
get
and he dropped. And he dropped his brother.
Jeez. He did drop his brother. There's no room for nepotism in the world of Ireland. In West Cork, I can tell you that.
He dropped his brother and grew a beard.
That's it. Family means nothing in Skibbereen in West Cork, I can tell you that. Right, lads, we get stuck into the racing. We've got a Goodwood and Newmarket today to go through. So the 20 past one is the first we're going to talk about at Goodwood. It is the Thames Materials handicap. It's over 7 furlongs. Quintilius is your 3-1 favourite for Charlie Appleby. You've got Spirit of Bermuda, who I was so close to napping up the last time, and I didn't, but he went to jury one at about 9-1, 7-2. You've got Dark Shift in there at 13-2 alongside Master Zoffany, 30-2, and it's 10-1 bar. Right, Kev, kick us off here. Again, it's open enough. I'm going to go with Spirit of Bermuda just because I'm so kicking myself in back in the last day. What do you like?
Yeah, I actually like her as well, Hugh. I like her as well. Like she's really kind of come back from the brink very quickly. She refused to race at Redcar there a few months ago, got upset in the stalls and just refused to come out. And then, you know, when a filly does that, you're like, they might just have decided this is not for me anymore. But whatever they did at home, if anything, she's really looked a different filly since, and won 2 out of 2 since then. Won at Leicester, went and won at Newmarket last time. You look back through her form, and she actually made a winning debut around this course and distance at Goodwood this time last year. So the track should be just fine for her. I think her connections feel as she wants fast ground. And look, we know Goodwood has been a little bit unpredictable this week, but it dried out rapidly prior to yesterday's card. It was kind of the soft side of good to soft. They missed. There was serious rain doing the rounds in southern England yesterday, but they missed it all. And if they get lucky, it wouldn't be a shock if we're certainly on good ground by Saturday, which would be perfectly fine for her, I think. So on that basis, I'm going to take the chance with Spirit of Bermuda.
Okay, good stuff. Two great minds. Barry, are you going to make it a hat-trick or are you going to go be difficult as usual?
No, I'm going to be difficult, most definitely, yeah. Two great minds. There's one of them anyway, that's for sure. But I fancy...
Don't say which one.
I like Dark Shift in it, you, David Egan for Charlie Hills. 13-2 chance at the moment of time of recording. Started the season with a win in the Nottingham Novice. Carried a penalty that day on soft ground over 6 furlongs. Never went a yard in his run after that on good to firm ground in York next time out. It was a 3-year-old handicap. He was sent off favour for that, coincidentally, but I think he really, really hated the ground. And again, he was sent off favour in Ascot last time out when he was beaten a little over 4.5 lengths by Brickenstaff. He stayed on well at the finish that day. That was over 6 furlongs. He's stepping up to 7 furlongs for the first time here. He's rated 86 now. He started the season actually rated 88, so they've dropped him a couple of pounds. He couldn't quicken with them last day in Ascot, but he stayed on well to finish second. And I just thought he's 8'6". David Egan takes the men 13-2. I thought he was a nice each way bet in the open.
Okay, so Dark Shift and Spirit of Bermuda, the selections, as we go on to the 155 on the card, the second race on the card. It is the Unibet Stewards Cup. 6 furlongs. And look, I should, just a proviso here just for listeners, is that we're doing this at the 48-hour declaration stage. So, you know, in terms of information and getting our thoughts around some of the minor details around races like this, you will bear with us. And Kevin's column, obviously, on betting.betfair.com might offer a slightly alternative view closer to the time. But as things stand, Kevin, kick us off here. I mean, who do you fancy for this?
Yeah, look, we will be giving these races a better hammer, particularly the Stewards' Cup itself, as the draw is actually taking place right now, so we don't have the draw. We have the draw for the consolation race. But the eye can't help but be drawn to one horse here, the legend that is George Bowen. I know, geez, when you saw him in the declarations, Hugh, you were getting wicked jiggy, so I said I didn't want to talk about him. I've talked enough about him over the years, but you got so excited, I said I better mention him. Reunited with Jamie Spencer 6 years on from their glorious victory on Irish Champions Weekend, and in fairness to him, he nearly won the Stewards Cup 3 years ago off a mark of 106, and he's come right back down. He actually bolted up there a few starts back and nearly broke the track record at Hamilton. He's been beaten a few times since, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ran well in seriousness if the ground dries out. But at the minute, I'm going to file this one away and deal with it in my Betfair.betting column, because a race like this is not one to be given windy, wishy-washy opinions on, Hugh, because there's so much to take in.
You've set it up lovely, though. It's like a Mills and Boone romance book, like the reunion of Georgie Bowen and Jamie Spencer. So you have me all doe-eyed here and soppy.
I have a picture on him on me wall. Like, I get reminded of it every day. It was a beautiful day. One of the great days, Hugh.
Yeah. Dee keeps asking to take it off the ceiling, though, in the bedroom, because it's not doing anything. Barry, have you got an opinion on this one?
Yeah, as you know, that's a dreadful imprint now on the morning.
A dreadful thought.
Tell you what.
Covering the mirror he has up there as well.
Jeez.
I don't know which would be better. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, the race is not priced up yet, but First Folio is a horse that I thought could go well in it. Be interesting to see when the prices go up. He's a three-year-old. They're getting £5 weight for age. He's 2 from 3 since joining James Ferguson. He won in Yarmouth Handicap off 80 on Good to Firm. Didn't run bad in Newmarket, considering he got upset in the stalls. Jumbie won the race in Newmarket, and he was just neck behind Parado in 5th. And he's won last time out in New York on Good to Firm off 90. He's 98 now, but he's a horse that's obviously, with being a three-year-old, getting away for age. I thought he could go well at a nice price. It'd probably be about a 7 or 8 to 1 chance, I would imagine. But yeah, it's a tentative pick because we've no prices up just yet.
Yeah, no problem at all. And as I said, betting.betfair.com for Kevin's considered piece closer to the race day as well. Right, gents, the next we're going to talk about, the third on the card, is the 2:30, the Summer Handicap. It's 1 mile and 6 furlongs. And at the head of the market at the time of recording, 5 to 1, is Nuit Saint-Georges for Sean Levy. Mike Frankel is in there, Michael Stout at 11 to 2. Win O'Clock for Roger Charlton at 8 to 1. You've got A Day in there at 10s, Bodyline at 10s, and it's 11 to 1 bar. Right, Barry, anything stand out here? Again, it looks wide open here. You can make a case for a handful of these. Have you come down on anything in particular?
Yeah, Huckfield won it last year off 92. Now he's rated 100 now, so he's carrying £8 more. But he's a consistent old type. He's a real warrior in these sort of races. It's not a race I have a strong opinion in at all, Hugh, to be perfectly honest with you. There's a couple worth watching in a body line, having his first run of the season for Sir Mark Prescott's an interesting one. Down, rated 92. He carries 8 stone 12 in the race. And Lady Killer's an interesting one. Won 5 times in his native Germany. Joined David Pipe to go hurdle and only had one run. He's a wind operation and he's a hood on for the first time. But he's rated 103. But I'm interested to see how he gets on. But I won't be having a bet in the race myself. It's 5 to field, like you say. But Huckfield at around 16 to 1 mark, I thought had a decent prospect.
Yeah, Lady Killer, named after our old pal Tony Calvin. Kevin, who are you liking this one? In the serial killer sense of the word.
another unpleasant thought. Poor listeners. Yeah. Apologies, listeners. That's 2 in a row now.
Apologies, TC. Anyway, who do you like, Kev?
It might be worth taking a chance on my Frankel. Hugh, look, I don't think he's a mighty price or anything now, but he's second fav or third fav, I think. He looked very progressive when he won at Kempton earlier in the season. Went to York, was very well fancied, and just kind of got a bit free up on the front end there, up in behind the leaders, and that probably cost them. And I thought they gave him a small impression up and at Haydock last time. I think they just... They said, right, we're going to take our medicine here and try to get this fella doing things the right way. And they absolutely buried him and rode him much more quietly to get him settled. And it seemed to work quite well. And he finished off his race well. He just had a little bit too much to do, as it turned out, behind a Lunak, who at the mere mention of his name gets Dan Barber all excited.
Yeah.
his winning nap that day. But it was a very good run. And it looks that he might be going the right way in terms of relaxing. Goes up in trip here. And I think if he relaxes as well as he did at Haydock, it'll give him a super chance of getting the trip. And if he relaxes, I can see the trip suiting him now based on his overall form. And I think the track should be fine for him. Drying ground would be fine for him as well. So he ticked a fair few boxes for me, Hubert. So I'll go with him.
Yeah, good stuff. I think 11-2, 5-1 general shot at the moment from my Frankel. Okay, the Qatar Lily Langtry Stakes is a Group 2 contest. It's a mile and six, so plenty of getting in this one. And just to give you the prices here at the time of recording, one of us tonight is your 4-5 favourite, so an odds-on shot. Alba Flora for our good friend Mr. Beckett, 5-1. Believe in Love, 9-1, and 12-1 bar. It's a short enough favourite. Barry at the top of the market, wonderful tonight. I think looks a pretty good thing, even at the price. What's your view?
Yeah, she's a really good filly. She's only an 8-1 chance for the York U, so that could be an indication of the esteem that she's held in. Obviously, 4-5 is quite short. She's missed a couple of engagements primarily because of the ground. She needs to get her toe in a bit in the ground. She's 4-5. She's a worthy favourite. It's hard to pick anything to beat her. She's rated 117. I think her nearest one in terms of ratings is Alba Flora, is rated 110, so she's £7 clearer the next on ratings. But in the without market, it'll be interesting to see how they bet it, because I fancy a horse that's a 16-1 chance. You could bet it each way maybe in the race. Golden Pass is the one I like, and for Hugo Palmer and Tom Marcand. She's a really, really tough filly. She was second to a nice horse of Sir Michael Stout's Katara. They had a good old ding-dong in Pontefract back in June, and then earlier on this month, she went to the July course in Newmarket over a mile and a half and got the firm ground and won three parts of a length. She showed a really willing attitude that day. She was given £7 to the runner-up in the Aphrodite, the filly's listed race. Free win, finished second, who she was given £7 to, a three-year-old. I just thought she got that rail and she stuck her head out. She pinned her ears back and she stuck her neck out. She really showed a good attitude. Now, hopefully the ground won't inconvenience her too much, because like I said, she's shown the best effect on good or good to firm ground. So I think possibly it will have dried out come Saturday. Obviously, we're at the 48-hour deck stage here. It's Thursday morning. So that's a watching brief as well. That's a caveat. Mm. But Golden Pass for me, 16-1. Maybe in the without market, but potentially as well in the each way market.
Okay, caveat emptor as always, so just keep an eye on the ground check as well. Joseph O'Brien has Treasure in this, Kev. Is this a bit of a Hail Mary job or any kind of a chance at a big price, 20-1?
Yeah, I think Hail Mary is probably a fair way to describe it, Hugh. Look, she's a stakes winner, did progress really well last season and ended up winning a listed race at Bath. So she has that big black type to her name. And really this season is just about trying to pick up a bit more black type, hopefully, in group company. She got Group 3 place last season. And if she finished in the first three here, that would be an All-Ireland result. Sometimes these races, these fillies, kind of staying races, can chop up a little bit quality-wise. Not the case this time, unfortunately, with Wonderful Tonight in there. But look, if you take out Wonderful Tonight, she's in the right sort of mix to amongst the rest, you know, so she won't be under any pressure there. Adam Kirby takes the ride, and she'll most likely be ridden with a bit of patience and hope to pick up some pieces later on. And she gets the trip well, whichever way the ground goes won't be an issue for her either way. I'd imagine she's going to be a big price. She was a small bit disappointing in her, well, I say small, but she was very disappointing in her latest run. So Joseph gave her a bit of time to get over whatever ailed her that day. And her record when coming back from a break is quite good in the main. So hopefully she'll acquit herself well and look, run close to her mark. And if that's good enough to slip into third, everybody's dancing. But, you know, you have to be in there to have a shot at these things. So while it might look a big task on paper, you do never know, especially with fillies. So hopefully she'll run all right.
Have a go. Absolutely. Okay, that's the last good word we're going to talk about for the week. Before we do the two at Newmarket, is the Unibet Stewards Cup. So it's a handicap over 6 furlongs. Fresh is your 7-1 favourite. Wide open race again. Hurricane Ivor is in there at 8-1. You've got Chill 10s, 12-1 Comanche Falls. You've got Bielsa, hit the crossbar a couple of times at 14-1 alongside Chief of Chiefs, and you can have what you like bar the rest. Right, Kev, look, it's a wide open one, this one again, and there are plenty who appeal. Anything that stands out at this stage that might be well handicapped, or?
Oh, sure, Gulliver. What else?
Gulliver. You're not sticking with Gulliver. You couldn't stick with Gulliver, for the love of God.
No, I, as mentioned earlier, I will be giving this a good hammer and covering it in my Betfair column, but I'd be amazed if I end up on Gulliver, as much as that love affair still burns bright.
Yeah.
He has run at Goodwood a few times and has run, you know, just okay. I don't think it's his ideal track. So while he is getting dangerously well handicapped, I don't think I'll be able to follow him over this particular cliff, which of course, listeners, means get on, because he's absolutely certain to win if I desert him. But though I'm probably going to be happy to leave him alone for this particular day, with a view to maybe supporting him the next day in slightly less electric company, because the Stewards Cup, as we know, does take an enormous amount of winning generally. And I don't want to jabber on too much more, Hugh, because I could say something to you now and, you know, the same horse mightn't even get a mention in the column by the time I hammer it down once we get the draw, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. But I mean, for everyone listening now, if Kevin doesn't put up Gulliver, just to have whatever you like on it, because it's bound to win. Barry, have you managed to decipher anything in this that's worthy of note? Or
I thought Bielsa could run well. He was 8th in the Buckingham Palace over 7 furlongs. I think that's working out a decent race. Highfield Princess won the races. Was third to Last Empire in a group three earlier on this week, and Dania, who won the Moët Chandon International on Saturday, had finished second. I thought it wasn't a bad run, just didn't get home over 7 furlongs. Gave it a good go in Haydock the time before that, was drawn on the wrong side. It's a race we would have covered, and the draw basically got him beat. He was on the stand side and all the action was over on the far side. He's only had 14 races, he's 4 wins, he's 2 seconds. Unfortunately, SDS Sylvester Sousa, the retained jockey for King Power, has chosen Chill Chill. So he's deserted Bielsa, but I'm sure it was a difficult decision for him. O'Shane Murphy's not a bad replacement, mind. Yeah, again, interesting to see where he's drawn. He's currently a 14-1 chance if the draw is okay and if the pace map works out and all that good stuff that Kevin's into. Well, then, I'll be having a few quid on Bielsa each way.
Yeah, okay, good stuff. And it's just, I guess read what you like. It's Sylvester Sousa, not sticking with him, but good stuff, Bielsa.
And worth adding that it's 6 places on the Betfair Sportsbook already, so that's good a decent stuff. Concession.
Okay, we're going to just cover two races quickly at Newmarket then, lads, on the Saturday. So the first we're going to do is the 210 on the card. It's the EBF Phillies Nursery Handicap. Lady Airsome, Simply Perfect, Cashew, Elads, Eternal Glory, the likes of Dora Penny, Kev, who stands out at this kind of early stage? Something to keep an eye on maybe for these two-year-olds.
Look, you know, nursery is obviously very tough. You know, the old statistics will tell you that you're in the main, you're better off sticking around up towards the top of the weights, certainly in the early exchanges of these nurseries in this part of the season. And one of those up the top end that I suppose immediately catches the eye is Symphony Perfect, because she ran an absolute stormer in the super sprint at Newbury, behind Gubass, who we're going to see in the, my two-year-old races are getting mixed up, as the Richmond. The Richmond today. So that'll be interesting to see. Look, she was getting some weight from him that day, but I thought it was a pretty big run, and the handicapper gave her £6. He could have taken a higher view of that if he so wished. So venturing into nursery company now, I think she'll find herself you know, happily surprised that the lower class opposition surrounding her in this race compared to 2 weeks ago. So I think she's definitely interesting off 86.
Okay, Barry, who have you come down on this one? Again, are you sticking with the top of the market where these 2 year olds concerned? Would you agree with Kevin there?
Yeah, Kevin's horse is a favourite at the moment at 9-2. The horse I like it is top weight, 8-1 chance, Lady Airsome. I didn't think got home over the 6 furlongs on heavy ground in the Albany. Was beaten 6 lengths by Sandrine. It's good form now, mind, but just didn't get home. And because of the ground, was 9th that day, although it was a 50-1 chance in Ascot. Had won twice in Beverly before that on contrasting ground as well. Got the firm ground and soft ground. Beat guided in one of those races in Beverly. Beat him a length, and Guided was only a length off Gubass in the super sprint that Kevin alluded to. He's rated 86 now. So I thought could go well, top weight, like I said, but Ushie McSweeney claims a really, really good £7 off him, so was set to carry 9 stone. So at 8-1, Lady Airsome, I think, can't be out of first string risk.
Okay, lovely stuff. The last one that we're talking about is the 245 at Newmarket, the British Stallion Studs Chalice Stakes, and it's for 3 years plus the listed race here. Kevin, you can talk to us a bit about Joseph's horse. I don't know if the pronunciation is a Dabia. I keep thinking of George W. Bush here when I see that name, but is that the
Dabia?
Dabia. George Dabia Bush.
Yeah, I'll go with Dabia. I'm not an authority in such things now, but that'll do for me. And in fairness, she won a conditions race at Bellistown last time and gave John Gleeson his first winner. I'm son of Brian Gleeson, pal of all of ours. I know gave Brian an absolutely massive kick. He was up there and got a huge thrill out of it. John Gleeson, a particularly nice young fella that rides out Joseph's a good bit and rides out for John Kiley as well. So that was a great day for him. And Dabia answered his every call now. He gave her a lovely ride, dictated the pace. Don't think she necessarily wants to make the running, but I think we felt there was very little pace in the race and she'd be as well off using her stride. And John kept his orders very well and she won nicely. But this is a different kettle of fish, as they say. No idea what a kettle of fish even is, but should we love wheeling out the cliches, you? So look, this is a different class of race, but in fairness, you look at it now, listed company, there's not a single filly rated 100 in it. You know, definitely looks a below standard race, which made it very attractive to spin over and have a crack, because look like any of these fillies, you just want to get black type for them. She doesn't have any at the minute, so the big mission for her is to go and get some. She's from a real lovely international pedigree, Group One winners from all over the place on her page. So that's the big aim with her. And again, if she could slip into third, you'd be absolutely thrilled. But it wouldn't be a shock if she could go close now. I don't think in this class of race, I'd like to think she'd come on from Bellistown and improve. Pat Dobbs takes the ride. So look, we're swimming a small bit blind with her now, but we'll be hopeful.
If I ever walked into a house and saw a fella with an actual kettle of fish, I'd ring the guard straight away and say, lock this fella up and put him in John O'Gonnell's room.
I'm going to need to look this one up to see where that comes from and what it means. It never makes a jot of sense, but you're like most cliches. Yeah. We wheel them out anyway, knowing exactly Roughly what they're supposed to mean.
Yeah. Okay, Bar. So fast word to you then on the 245. Anything stand out at this time?
Yeah, three-year-old filly I like in it. That was a course and distance winner last day. Sayida for Charlie Appleby and the Doiler. Yeah, won a handicap, like I said, over the course and distance of 85. It was a filly's handicap now, but she just showed a really, really good resolution that day. She put her head down, really fought back when she got headed. She's rated 91 now. What I like as well is that the three-year-old fillies get 11 pounds from the older fillies. So in terms of weight for age, that's a massive, massive help. She's a 9-2 chance. And I think she's a filly going in the right direction and has a really bright future. Like Kevin says, there's not one filly in the race rated 100. I think Sherbet Lemon is the highest rated at 99. So that'll just give you an indication of for this class of race, it's pretty ordinary probably, and she's a filly on an upward curve. As you could say the same about Rafe Beckett's filly, another three-year-old filly in the race, and obviously Save a Forest brings classic form to the table. But Sayida for me at around 9-2, 5-1, I thought was a nice bet in the race.
And in all fairness, Charlie Appleby doesn't have a particularly bad crop of three-year-olds this year.
No, he doesn't.
So it might be worth sticking with her. Yeah, good stuff. So Sayida for Barry then. Right, lads, all that remains is for your naps then after the week that has been. I'm going to go with Spirit of Bermuda, kick things off 121, because I'm just kicking myself still that I didn't put her up the last day. So Spirit of Bermuda in the 120 at Goodwood for me. Barry, for yourself.
Yeah, it's not recency bias, but I'm going Sayida for me in the 245 in Newmarket. Sayida.
Good stuff. Okay, so Sayida, Charlie Appleby's in the 245 at Newmarket. And Kevin, your good self. You can't put up George Bowen. I don't care what happens.
Well, sorry, I've got totally distracted here trying to find out what a kettle of fish means. they used to poach fish in a long kettle like thing in England, and some fella wrote it in a book 200 years ago and it stuck around. So there you go. Don't think I'm any the wiser, but we gave it a go anyway, lads.
What's your nap then, you big kettle fish?
Geez, talk about a struggle here, lads. This is one difficult day's racing, isn't it? I'll go with Maya Frankel in the 2:30 at Goodwood now, but tough day's racing.
One for the purest, shall we say. Right, lads, good stuff. Thanks for all your company, listeners, over the course of the week. I hope you enjoyed it. We're back with Weighed In on Monday, so make sure you tune in for that. Best of luck for the weekend. Enjoy the racing, and we'll talk to you on Monday.